Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the solemnity of the Ascension. And as we prepare our hearts for the upcoming celebration of Pentecost next weekend, we ask that you give us an expectant faith, that in your kindness and generosity, you wish to pour out a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit to help strengthen us through these challenging times and through any personal challenges we're facing right now in our lives. For you are a generous God who keeps your promises. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, last weekend, I talked a little bit about joy and how where the Holy Spirit is not present, there's a lack of joy. And we need to be joyful and receive that gift as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I so appreciate humor in difficult times. And my dad was just a real master at that and passed it on to me. It's not always maybe appropriate humor, but it works for me. So I woke up this morning thinking of a funny experience that I had with him. I took him in October to get his medical port put in for the chemotherapy that he was going to get. So, you know, we went down a long hallway, really long hallway, went to the procedure room, and then we had this nurse who was very nice and bubbly, but kind of had this nervous laugh. So, I need to give you an IV now. I'm going to see if I can find a vein. And my dad's like, well, I hope you can find one. And, of course, he got poked twice before they found one. But he was a good sport about the whole thing. And I went out to the lounge and waited for him to have the procedure done when they put the port in. I fell asleep and my phone went off and I jumped out of my seat. So did the person next to me who was also sleeping because it's a really loud, obnoxious ringtone. That's why I have my phone off all the time. And they just said, you know, your father's done. You can come back now and retrieve him. So I went down the long hallway again and I tried to help him put his clothes on, so I reached under the gurney to get his bag, and I pulled out a shirt, and I thought, I don't remember this being the shirt you wore in here, but maybe I'm just out of it, which is quite possible. So I proceeded to try to put it over his head, and it wouldn't fit. And then I realized, these aren't his clothes, and the shoes in there aren't his shoes. I said, Dad, your clothes are missing. This is somebody else's. It was obviously a lot more petite than you are. And he said, you know, oh, that guy's probably in the morgue. And the nurse heard him, and she goes, oh, no, he's not in the morgue. He started laughing. Because he didn't have his hearing aids in, and he talks really loud so everyone can hear what he says. And then he said, can you please call me an Uber to get me back to my car down the hallway and everything? So at any rate, he was such a good sport about that. Even when he was in a lot of pain, he was always trying to find humor to kind of alleviate the stress of the situation. So I encourage you to go and do likewise, as Jesus said. Go and do likewise. Don't lose your sense of humor. Amen?
Amen?
All right, on that note, I want to talk a little bit about the school of the Holy Spirit. I thought it would be very helpful since we've been reading, especially out of John's Gospel the last several weeks, in anticipation of Pentecost. Jesus, you know, said, you know, I will not leave you abandoned or orphaned. I will give you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. So I want to just review a few things to kind of get us ready for next week in celebration of Pentecost, because we're always in need of the grace of Pentecost in our church, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul the Sixth said, you know, that the Holy Spirit, we're like a ship on the water, and the Holy Spirit blows through the sails and moves the church forward. So we need always to be open and docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we've been having in our scripture readings, it reminds us that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth and remind you of everything I taught you. So the Holy Spirit leads us into the truth that we're all adopted children of God. We have a dignity and a destiny and a purpose. Every day we get out of bed, God has something for us to do to further his kingdom in this world. And I think that's a beautiful thing, that when the Holy Spirit enters us, you know, you get more clarification in your life and you're more focused and you don't just react to situations, but you pray in the Holy Spirit to try to respond to them, to prayerfully respond to them. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And we contrast that to our world today, which has greatly moved away from God and from, you know, being close to God and thinks that we can construct our own peaceful society apart from him. And there's so much confusion and lies going on. People just lie all the time. You know, you turn the TV on and people will say things that aren't truthful, and they seldom rescind it or say, I'm sorry, that wasn't true. Even if they smeared somebody's reputation and destroyed their family, there's very little regret or sorrow for that. It's just really bad. And then when somebody's caught making a mistake or lying, instead of being accountable like David, you're the man. Remember Nathan said that to him? And he said, I'm sorry, I did something very wrong. I repent of that. That spirit of repentance is greatly lacking. They blame other people. Well, it's somebody else's fault that I behaved that way and did something wrong or smeared somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. And that's a sure sign that we're not welcoming the Holy Spirit when we don't take responsibility for our words and actions, you know. And I remember my dad, he rode me really hard once in my life. I think I was in junior high, where I just refused to be responsible. I'd forget to put the boat cushions in the boat. And, I put them in there. Somebody must have taken them out. He goes, little green aliens come down and take them out. That sounds good. You know, I just was not taking it. He says, and I remember he just pulled me and said, Jim, we all make mistakes, but just own up to it, and God can teach you, and you learn from those. But we're all flawed human beings. You can't just not take responsibility for not doing things when you say you're going to do them, right? And that's, the Holy Spirit will lead us into that, being accountable and humble, is that, you know, we all are sinners. And when we detach from that, then we get really mean and judgmental when people do make mistakes, instead of inviting them into a spirit of repentance and a hopeful place that God can help them out of it. They just feel condemned, and they just feel like there's no way out, and it just brings despair and all kinds of awful things to them. So the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts and charisms. And St. Paul says this. This was one of our themes when I was at St. Brandon's. We always had a theme for Lent. And he says, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity and to the measure of the full stature of Christ. So that's a reminder that in every state of life, if you're a priest, a layperson, a mom, a dad, a single person, divorced, whatever, God will give you what you need each day to equip you to do his work. He's not giving you this list of commands and things to do and saying, good luck, you're on your own now. He provides exceedingly and abundantly for all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And so Pentecost is all about, the Holy Spirit is all about remembering that he will give us what we need to serve him well. But we need to welcome the Holy Spirit and not be so self-reliant. And here's a quote from St. Bonaventure that I shared a couple years ago. The Holy Spirit comes where he is loved, where he is invited, where he is expected. The Holy Spirit comes where he is loved, where he is invited, where he's expected. So we have to ask for this gift, this anointing of the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And sometimes we don't ask, and we see disconnectedness, a coldness come into our church, where we really don't show love and concern for one another. And I love when I see, when people do welcome the Holy Spirit, the amazing things that happen. And we had a prayer meeting last Thursday where somebody joined us that had never joined us before. I never found out where they were from. I want to say, where are you from? But I didn't do that. So we were all praying, and we knew this person had some kind of trauma in their life, but, you know, we didn't probe and ask because you don't want to embarrass people. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just kept giving people words of comfort and affirmation for this person, and just prayers, you know. And I just want to pray that whatever you're going through, to know that God is going to lead you through that. And I thought about our recent trip to the Holy Land. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For your hand is on my shoulder, your rod is at my side to guide and comfort me and to bring me to refreshing waters. And so people shared all kinds of beautiful things. And I just sat back and didn't really say anything and just watched as the Holy Spirit gave people gifts and charisms to help this person with whatever they're struggling with. We need more of that in the Catholic Church today. Amen? Too often we come to Mass and we go to different Masses because it's convenient for other activities in our life. We don't talk to anybody. We don't take an interest in their life. It's like going to Costco, which I did the other night. It was crazy, absolutely crazy. And I'm trying to find the shortest line and never found it. But we have to be different, where we show a concern and love for the people around us who may be struggling with something. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He sensitizes our hearts to people, to their plight and problems, and leads us out of self-centeredness. It's not all about me. But Lord, what can I do to affirm somebody else who's sitting around me right now? And you pray in the Holy Spirit and you get things. You get things, right? And so we need more than the Catholic Church today. I really believe that. Then the last thing is confidence. You have this confidence that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so you begin to realize that the Lord never said he would spare us from those dark valleys and from difficult experiences and challenges in our life. But he did say he would be with us and he would never abandon us. He holds us in the palm of his hand. But part of our maturity and our faith is that you have to get over, well, if God really loves me, then nothing bad's going to happen to me. That's not how it works. That was like me with my Aunt Lynn. You know, I put the coin in the vending machine and pull the lever, and God dispenses the product I asked for. Please heal my Aunt Lynn from cancer. She's a lovely person. She's my godmother. And then that didn't happen. So I'm like, what? God's not a vending machine? No, he's not. But he knows what's best for us, and if he allows us to go through something, it's for a greater good. And Paul was celebrating that in Romans 8. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor principalities above or below, nor nakedness nor the sword nor persecution or trial, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And he was saying that because that man was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he suffered a lot. Shipwrecked, bitten by a serpent, beaten, stoned, thrown outside the city and stoned. But he said nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus because that man was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he had that confidence inside of him. We want that confidence too, don't we? Because we have a lot of challenging things going on right now, probably in our personal lives, but in our world. And we just really need to pray in anticipation of a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because God is good, and he's not going to abandon us or leave us on our own. He won't shield us from all suffering. We know that. But we can be a witness to his love in the midst of that suffering by the way we respond to it. And by the way we give him glory and continue to praise him, even when things we don't understand are going on in our lives. You're still a good God. I just don't get it. I don't get a lot of things. How about you? Most days, it's like even, please be seated now as we sing the Gloria. and Barb goes, don't you want them to stand for the Gloria? I should have a bumper sticker on my car. Don't follow me. I'm lost.